You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, this is Paul Lazarus. In the 1980s, I produced and hosted a radio series called Anything Goes, a celebration of the American musical theater. Now the Broadway Podcast Network is bringing back these shows. Today, the conclusion of a two-part visit with the acclaimed performer and songwriter Mickey Grant. Grant is best remembered for her Broadway score to Don't Bother Me, I Can't Cope, and her three amazing songs in Working. This program was originally broadcast in 1980.
Was it Vinette Carroll's idea to develop a musical theater piece based on the writings of Lewis Carroll?
Yeah. Uh-huh. In fact, it was a dream of hers long before I met her. She initially tackled it at City Center, and it was called But Never Jam Today. You know that line that the White Queen has, jam yesterday, jam tomorrow, but never jam today, you know. So in other words, you never get any, you know.
Right.
She always wanted to do a full-scale production, and she started talking to me about it shortly after we did Cope. Now, I had read Alice in Wonderland as a child, and it didn't turn me on, all these silly folks, you know, silly things happening. And I kept saying, who wants to do, you know. So finally she sent me a book of the annotated Alice.
Yes.
And of course put very complimentary things in back to my favorite composer and all that. So, you know, then I... and I read it, and it was like reading it anew.
Those magical things that are a completely different experience when we're kids.
And I said,
and
this
adults.
Is not a kid's book, you know?
Yeah.
It was an awakening. And
I adore pieces of literature like that.
Yeah.
That have two, you know, distinct levels almost.
Right.
You know.
So then it became a challenge. It became a challenge because if we were going to use Lewis Carroll's poetry and writings and what have you, and mine, you know, how to blend them and how to match the wits and how to, you know. And I just enjoy doing it.
Were all the songs you wrote for that show based on specific moments in Alice or writings of Carol?
Yeah.
They were.
Everyone.
Tell me about two of the songs, a song called Consider and a song called It's Lonely.
When we started doing the show, it was pure Lewis Carroll in terms of the book. But somewhere along the line, the concept changed, and Alice became a 16-year-old celebrating her birthday. But anyway, there's a moment when she finds herself in this strange place, having just gone through this funny, crazy conversation with the White Queen. And she's on the verge of tears and says, it's so lonely here. And it's really lonely because she doesn't know these people or understand things go backwards instead of forwards. And so any place where you are, where you feel like a stranger, it's lonely. And I have often said that in terms of myself, my own personality, I can be alone for days and weeks if I'm in a good frame of mind, because then you're just alone. But there's another whole feeling about being lonely, you know?
Right.
And that's what turned me on, that line when she says, it's so lonely here. Thank you. Consider, it comes toward the end. When I wrote it for Alice.
Uh-huh.
It became the Two Queens songs at the very end, after she's crowned, and she gets to the end of the chess game, and she is crowned, and she says, "Oh, I'm a queen," you know. When I originally wrote it, she was looking in the mirror at her crown, and she sings, "Well, little girl, you're not so little anymore. You know, no more peeking through keyholes, you finally open the door. Consider how you started out." Well, the word consider, when the White Queen says to her, when she starts to cry, "Consider what a big girl you are. Consider how far you've come. Consider anything, just don't cry." You know, and the use of the word consider over and over is what put the idea in my head.
"Well, little girl, you're not so little anymore. No more peeking through keyholes. You finally opened the door. Consider how you started out. Consider a stranger to what life's about. consider. You listen to that distant drum, and from the pie you pull the plum, considering where you've come from. You've come from. Consider all the lessons learned, consider. The bridges crossed, the bridges burned, consider. The horns you raised that wouldn't blow, the friends you knew but didn't know. Consider how far you had to go, and look, look where you are. Life is a game of chess that you learned how to play, by watching the winners and losers and learning the rules along the way. Just a rank beginner, you played it like a winner. Now who can blame you for feeling like a queen? Now that your innocence has fled, consider the roads that still lie up ahead. Consider you made it to that final square. You finally become aware of who you are. Now you are on your way.
Any other numbers in that show that you really like or that are very special to you?
Yeah, well, I did a number for Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
What's it called?
It's a very contemporary rock number. It's called Working for the Man. We used twins, actual twins, in this role. It became Tweedledee and Tweedledum's song, but actually it was written for the workmen who were setting up the tent for the croquet game, you know, when they have the croquet game, and they have the workmen out there. And they're talking so tough, and yeah, I want a queen, the red. This is for the Red King and Queen. And blah, 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 and suddenly the queen enters and they're prostrating on the floor, you know, that game you play with people.
Uh-huh.
You bow and scrape when it's time. And so I wrote this number called Working for the Man. Working for the man, he is like working in showbiz, because putting on a show is like working for the man is, you know. So
oh, it
then they
fun.
Go, and they really did it up, the two guys who did it.
Today, but I did.
He did.
I could have stayed in bed instead. I hit the foyer door.
The sun didn't rise and shine today, but we did.
Sure did.
Cause if we didn't show, you know the show would not go.
Working for the man is like working in showbiz. Cause putting on a show is like working for the man is. Today, but I did.
He did.
I left my coffee hot and got there in 10 minutes flat.
Yeah, the boss never even smiles my way, but I do.
You do.
Y'all have a real nice day. I say I even tipped my hat.
Well, working for the man is like working in showbiz.
cause putting on a show is like working for the man is. I'd like to be doing something else, but I ain't got my future tied up in a bucket of paint. Cutting grass, pitching tents for a grown-up man, it don't make no sense. But it ain't handy for a handy man to quit, and if you slow down some, the foreman has a fit. So when I run out of grass, I'm gonna mow the ground, keeping busy, looking busy when the man comes around. The son never has no tax to pay, no way. He can do what he pleases, he's a spaced-out aristocrat. Can't even take a holiday, no way. Cause if I'm out of sight, they might decide to pull my axe. Working for the man is like working in showbiz. Cause putting on a show is like working for the man is. Working for the man is like working in showbiz. Cause putting on a show is like working for the man is. Working for the man is like working in showbiz. Cause putting on a show is, it's like working for the man is. Working for the man, working for the man.
Goodness, what a state your hair is in.
Oh, the brush got entangled in it, and I lost the comb. I lost the comb yesterday.
Oh, really, you should have a maid.
Oh, I'm sure I'd take you with pleasure. $2 a week and jam every other day.
I don't want you to hire me, and I don't care for jam, thank you.
It's very good jam.
Well, I don't care for any today at any rate.
Well, you couldn't have it if you did want it. The rule is jam tomorrow and jam yesterday, but never jam today.
But never jam today. How true. Alice Ghostly as the White Queen and Debbie Allen as Alice in a scene from Alice, a show by Mickey Grant and Vinette Carroll, which closed during its out-of-town tryout in Philadelphia and unfortunately never made it to Broadway. The three Mickey Grant songs you heard were It's Lonely, performed by Debbie Allen, Consider, sung by the Black Queen, Paula Kelly, and the real-life twins Clinton Derricks Carroll and Cleavon Derricks as Tweedledum and Tweedledee in Working for the Man.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFF's creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFF's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Back to a pre-recorded interview with my guest today on Anything Goes, composer-lyricist Mickey Grant. Did Steve Schwartz approach you about writing songs for Working, the musical based on Studs Terkel's novel?
Yes, he did.
And this is early on into the project, right?
Yeah, actually, they had been working on it. And the way he told me was that, when he first started working on it, he really realized with a kind of subject matter and so varied and so many people from so many walks of life that it would be the kind of project that maybe one person shouldn't, you know, tackle.
Do alone, yeah.
Right. Because, as you know, it's based on a series of interviews and there's a whole style and way of talking that some people are not, don't hear that much,
yeah,
you know, the idioms and what have you. And to make it authentic, because I think what we all tried to do, all the writers involved, was to really use the person that we were dealing with, as much of them as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And try to do lyrically, get as much of their actual words in, but still do it, you know, with certain craftsmanship lyrically, but use as much of the actual person as possible.
Did you get a chance to speak with the people that you were writing with at all?
In Chicago, I met the real Levinel.
You did?
And he loved the fact, he loved what he did because he felt he could do it better than anybody else.
I'm known from Peking to Hong Kong, from the West Coast to the Pecos. Hiking cars is my game. In an automobile, I used to be a hell on wheels, and that's what earned me my name. Ask anybody to tell you about Loving Al. Ask anybody, and anybody will tell you. There was a time when nobody could beat me doing what I do. I'd punch out a ticket, slide under the wheel, and right off the bat have it under control. Using one hand to spin her around without backing up, put her straight in the hole. People ask me how I do it. I tell them that there ain't nothing to it, cause I'm Loving Al, the wizard, one swing Al, that's me. Loving Al is a wizard, so don't be surprised at what you see. One swing in, one swing out, and look out. Brother, there he goes. Why can't I be a rich man with some big bucks in my jeans? I'd buy me a brand new Cadillac and a 50-cent cigar. Because you can't smoke 10-cent stogies when you ride in a rich man's car. See them get out with their tuxedos on, and when I get in, I can smell the cologne. The music be up, I'll be listening a while, sitting pretending that it was my own. I may sit longer than I should. That's cause it feels so good to love it out. The wizard, one swing out, that's me. Loving Al is a wizard, so don't be surprised at what you see. One swing in, one swing out, and look out. I had a customer once, tall as a smokestack. I sat down and it looked like I was sitting in the back. He said, you better pull that seat up, boy, I'm over 6 feet. I said, mister, I never move anybody's seat, cause I'm Loving Al, the wizard. Wheels and me agree. Loving Al is a wizard. If the parking lot Grand Prix,
that's it.
I got to skip, but I see a tip. Loving Al, signing off. Oh.
Steve also told me that he was sitting there and thinking that maybe, you know, Mickey Grant, thinking in his head, you know, how do I get a Mickey Grant kind of sound or Mickey Grant? He says, why don't I get Mickey Grant? You know, why am I sitting here doing it myself or trying to do it myself?
For sure.
It is harder, I think, for a person like Steve to deal with the thoughts of the cleaning woman and the idiom. It is harder for him than it would be for me to deal with the other side. See, because we move through all avenues of life. In other words, a cleaning woman knows who goes to other people's homes to clean, knows everything that goes on in that house, but they know nothing about what goes on in her house. What's
right.
That, you know? So it's much easier for me to write songs that have nothing to do with a particular idiom or just have to do with a situation in life, because everybody knows what pain feels like or heartache feels like, and but not everybody knows what it feels like, say, to never be called by your last name.
Wonderful.
And some little kid has just seen you for the first time alive and calls you Annie or Sue, you know.
Yeah.
They don't really experience those feelings. And my mother has done clean when I was growing up. That helped us survive some of those times. when she would go. And I remember a time that my father made her quit a particular place because a woman insisted she lived on the third floor and insisted my mother sit outside the window and wash her windows. And my mother left and said, you know, I don't wash windows in my own house. My husband wouldn't let me hang out. And my father told her, you never go back there again.
Third number that you wrote in that show, If I Could Have Been, is got nothing to do with any
right,
particular.
Right, so that's everybody.
That's everybody.
And in that book, at one point, everybody speaks of what he really would have liked to do. One guy says, you know, if I hadn't gotten married so soon, you know, if I hadn't gone to the army, or I really wanted a farm, you know, and he's doing construction work, but he really wanted to be a farmer. So we all, that's a universal thing.
When you wrote that, you obviously did not mean that in any kind of self-pitying way. It was more, and I always sort of took that song to be a positive way of, even though it's with regret, nonetheless,
yeah.
It's still positive in the sense that, okay, I didn't do those things, but
yeah,
I
but
could
I
have
know
done,
I could have. I know I had it in me.
If I could have been what I could have been, I could have been something. If what I could be had been left to be, I would have been something. A tower of strength, a center of power, at $10 an hour. could have done, what I could have done. I could have done big things, some luck to do. What I wanted to, I would have done big things. Swam a few rivers, climbed a few hills, paid all my bills. Now it's just dreams that I'm stuck with. Yeah, that ain't a lot to show. I haven't gone far from the starting line, but deep down inside where it counts, I know.
I know, I know, I know.
And if I could have gone where I could have gone, I could have gone. Fight all those ifs, ands, or buts.
All those ifs, ands, or buts.
But if I could have been what I could have been, I could have been something. If my destiny had been up to me, I would have been something.
This is Anything Goes. I'm your host, Paul Lazarus. You just heard songwriter Mickey Grant's three songs for Working, the musical adaptation of Studs Terkel's book. David Langston Smurl performed Loving Al. Clean and Women and If I Could Have Been were both sung by one of my absolute favorite performers, triple threat Lynn Thigpen, who could make any song sound great, let alone the talented work of Mickey Grant. You do some commercial work, and I've asked you to let me play an Unguentin commercial, which won you a Clio, which is the awards given to for commercials. Yeah. And I think it's super. I mean, I think I'm not exactly thrilled by commercials, but on the other hand, as a commercial, it's really very, very good.
Yeah.
And you had it recorded by Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah.
It's
its own thing too, you know.
Yeah.
I guess everything has a particular skill to it, whereas I wouldn't want to just make my living doing nothing
but
because I have too many other things I want to say and do. But it's kind of, if you do a couple of things and you say, wow, I did it, you know, and it worked, it's kind of fun. And one can always use the bread, I tell you.
I can certainly understand that aspect of it.
Gladys Knight and the Pips for Unguentin Aerosol.
Mr. Burns is mean, and he's bad and wrong. When your back is turned, he'll come on strong. I'm looking down from on high. Mr. Burns is hot for your body. So baby, cool it with Unguentin Aerosol. Cool it with Unguentin Aerosol. Cool it with Unguentin Aerosol.
First aid for sunburn.
Mr. Burns is a mean sun up above, but Unguentin Aerosol contains burn-chilling benzocaine that lays a burst of cool on that suntan.
All you gotta do is cool it with Unguentin Aerosol. Cool it with Unguentin Aerosol.
Let's talk a little bit about the show that's about to open, which had a short run at Amas Repertory, and it's called It's So Nice to Be Civilized, and now is fortunately coming to Broadway very soon. In fact, you go into rehearsal in less than a week, I think.
That's right. It's about human survival, but more important, about the survival of humanness.
You have strong feelings about the way things are going these days, because, I mean, you play this wonderful song entitled Who's Going to Teach the Children, which we're going to play later. And it's obvious to me that you're not very thrilled about the way, especially maybe just America, if we can focus on America, the direction that it's heading, with the kind of that loss of humanity and confusion that's...
Yeah, I'm amazed quite often. And somewhere, I guess it comes with living, and the more that you see, and I guess my biggest disappointments really come from people. Situations don't disappoint me as much as a disappointment in a person. But I'm amazed, and I'm amazed really at what happened to the young people. Maybe it's because we don't see enough or hear enough about the others, but there's a callousness, and I think it's because of the world and the situation. And the kids today are born where there's no fantasy or amazement anymore. I doubt if people tell the kind of stories that they'll play. They don't play the games that we used to play. The kids used to play on the street and play games. There's a violence in the society, and where you would be appalled when I was growing up. I mean, if you saw a fight, just really a fist fight or something on the street, it was like, you'd get this catch in your stomach because it was violence, somebody putting, heaping violence on someone else. And the way the kids grow up with it today, it's like nothing, and that's very frightening to me. It's very frightening to me.
Now the moon's become old hat. We've gotta get to Mars. And after building bigger highways for our bigger motor cars, they tell us now to slow down while we hurry up and learn how to find more energy so there'll be more to burn. And who's gonna teach the children how to sing while you're busy doing your number and I'm out doing my thing? Who's gonna teach the children how to sing? You can ride life's escalator up and down on pills while contemplating from your corner an entire nation's ills. But who will tell the 10-year-old what life is all about while one generation dropped the bomb, another one dropped out? Now who's gonna teach the children how to sing while you're busy doing your number and I'm out doing my thing? Children, how to sing. Daddy's an achiever and he's busy on the climb. Mama's liberated and it takes up all her time. Grandma's a youngish widow and she's got a heavy date. Where's that babysitter? She's a good 10 minutes late. But can the babysitter teach them how to sing? While Daddy's out doing his number and Mama's out doing her thing, who's gonna teach the children? Who will teach our children? Thank you.
You've been listening to the conclusion of a two-part look at the career of composer-lyricist Mickey Grant. Associate producer Jeff London. Anything Goes Backstage with Broadway's Best is produced and hosted by Paul Lazarus. For more information, visit anythinggoespl.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and follow us. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah,
not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.